13 this morning. Proverbs chapter 13, we'll continue our study on these verses that we had the Lord speak to our hearts about in the book of Proverbs. We will read the chapter as normal, and then we'll get into those verses that are there. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Now, Father, again, we do thank you for your word that we've read, and I pray you'd bless the reading of it. And I pray you'd bless each person here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, when you look at Proverbs 13, you will find a lot of focus on this about watching your mouth, what comes out of your mouth, and the consequences of what comes out of the mouth of people, and the consequences and the necessity of minding your own business and taking care of your own affairs. And there, that's kind of a theme as we go through there. Now, when we had our reading, and everybody gave me the verses they said that God spoke to their heart, there were two verses in particular where all those intersected, and it was verse 3 and verse 22 were the two people's reading and what they said God spoke to their heart, that's where they intersected. And granted, there is a wealth of knowledge and wisdom here, but we're focusing on these particular verses. So in Proverbs 13:3, it says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Now, when we look at the scriptures, the very first verse that we have up there on the board, he says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." It goes on to say, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now, when we look at that picture there, what you say and how you speak is important. It makes a great amount of difference. But we know that already, don't we? How you say something is as important as whether you say something. And many, many times as we try to navigate through life, we find ourselves wishing we had kept our mouth shut or we had moderated the way we said something, right? And we know that by experience. We've all been there. We've all said something that we wish we could take back. And there are times when we wish we would have said something when we had the opportunity. So we know how important speech is. It's how we communicate. And God says here, it says that he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now, there is a time the Bible tells us to speak. The Bible has literally hundreds of verses that talk about speech and what we say and how we say it. And the Bible goes so clear to say that every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. That means anything we say, every idle word. And so, when we look at the breadth of what God is paying attention to, it ought to sober us up. Yes. But most people don't think that way. They don't think that, God is paying attention to what's going on with me. They don't think in that terms. God is paying attention to what I say. God is listening to everything. And I'm going to be called into account for it. We don't think that way because that's the way the flesh is. The flesh is like, well, God didn't hear. God didn't care. And that's a lie. He does care. And it's important what we say. But look at the number of passages in the Bible that it talks about lying, backbiting, gossip. Right? And we could go on and on and on about what the Bible has to say about speech. And we know that it's the things we say that often get us into trouble. And then, once we get into that trouble and we've offended somebody, then there's all that difficulty of trying to make things right, don't we? And so, in trying to fix it. And sometimes it can never be fixed because people won't forgive or whatever the case may be. And there's a cost to what we say. And the mark of the righteous, the mark of the godly person, the person that really cares about, is they regulate their mouths. They pay attention and to what they say. How many times have you said something you thought was being said in confidence and somebody heard you and got upset about it? Because you were running your mouth about something you didn't have any business running your mouth about. We have to understand that. What we say is extremely important. How we talk to people. How we talk about people. Most of the time, we shouldn't be bothered talking about people. You know, if you got a problem with somebody, go talk to them. That's the first step of the biblical way of trying to get things reconciled, right? Fixed. So we look at that. So the Bible tells us that our speech is extremely important. And he said, he that openeth wide, his lips shall have destruction. So if you just blab anything, you know, I remember a story I was told one time about some little boy that was in a, listened to some men talking in one of the old type of general stores, and he was sitting there, this little poor kid was sitting there, that he'd always come in there and he'd listen to the men talk, and one of the men got up there and he said he was talking to these other men, and he said I don't believe there's a God. And the little boy was taken aback, and he got up and he said, you know, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, but you just blabbed it out for everybody to know it. You know what type of person you are. And that, you know, that kind of is kind of comical when you think about the thing, but a lot of times we just blab stuff out that we ought to keep private. And the reason why the atheists and all these people are so bold and brash is because the devil knows that that's to their hurt and to their destruction, so he provokes them to be that way. And he'll try to provoke you too, and the flesh will provoke you. So we're supposed to realize that we have that what we say is extremely important. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. And it, and obviously, it's not just talking about eternal life here. It's talking about your quality of life. It makes a difference. So we look at some more scriptures that the Bible says, and I just picked out particularly the book of James. I literally could have gotten hundreds of scriptures to talk about that. The Bible tells us to, you know, we're to speak the truth in love, right? You know, if you're going to speak the truth, it ought to be spoken in love. If you're going to tell somebody the truth about your soul, you ought to actually care about their soul. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about people who some preached the gospel sincerely, and others not sincerely, hoping to add affliction to his bonds. They just wanted to stir up trouble. They were going out and saying things. And you had Paul and Silas being followed by I believe it was in Philippi, where the girl that was possessed with the spirit of divination, she was running around behind them, and she was saying the right things. These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. She was telling the truth, but the devil was trying to use her to latch on to Paul and try to validate the wickedness that was going on with her divination and fortune telling and things like that. So he was trying to legitimize that. And the devil does that. He tries to legitimize himself. He shows himself as an angel of light. So all the way through there, we see the wicked trying every device and all to their own destruction. And that is eternal, but what we say makes a difference in our life and the quality of other people's life. You look at our culture today, and nobody can get along for anything. There's no forgiveness for anything. There's no, you know, if you go against the established ideas of what they think you should say or shouldn't say, they'll rake you through the coals and they'll run your name down through the mud. This fellow that got fired off of Fox News and everything, they have been trying to destroy him. All these outlets have been trying to destroy him. They took quotes, and there's one quote about talking about how he had felt. And they only quoted part of it to make him look as bad as possible. But if you look at the whole quote, he was just being very candid about how he felt about something. Then he looked at himself and said, this isn't right the way I'm thinking about this. And the whole quote was, he looked at himself and he was horrified that he had gotten to so involved in this stuff that he forgot that these were people that he was talking about and dealing with. And so the whole quote shows him being sober and reflecting about getting caught up in all this argumentative and dialogue and all the violence and stuff that's coming from it. And he quoted, but the whole quote was like, he looked at this and found out that he took an honest look at himself and he said, I'm not doing right. You know, and he said that. But the news media only quoted the part where he was talking about the things that he did not like about himself, as if that was all he said. And they'll do that, because the wicked are there to destroy. But we shouldn't be that way. We're different. And the Bible says in the book of James, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Why? Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And if you look at the news media and everything that they have out there, they want you in a tizzy. They want you to be upset. And if you can't watch the news without getting all angry and upset, and you can't look at it objectively and see the big picture and see and realize that God is still in control, and you don't have to get all upset and angry and fussing and fighting and everything, and you don't have to join in, and you don't have to hate everybody that has a different opinion than you do. If you can't do that, shut it off. Because you're killing yourself. And what's going to happen is you're going to begin saying things that you shouldn't say. And that, we all know the cost of a bunch of people just talking about another person down the line. And eventually it comes out. James 1:26 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." The mark of a Bible-believing Christian is that they pay attention to what comes out of their mouth. They believe what the Bible says. They believe that what they say is important, and how we say things and what we say. We talked about that quite a bit. Now, this is the second week in a row that we've talked about this particular focus, and we had a focus about what comes out of somebody's mouth as going through our study of Proverbs. And so it's very clear to me that God wants us to pay attention. We go into the book of James in chapter 3, like I said, there's hundreds of verses that I could use, but I picked these verses out of James. James chapter 3 and verses 2 through 6. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." And Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right? So, if what's coming out of your mouth is not godly and righteous, then your tongue is being motivated by the flesh, by the old nature. And what we say and how we say things is important, because we are supposed to be different. And I'll be honest with you. Notice what the Bible tells us. He says, the scripture says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." And I can say this. Now, granted, we all have things that we struggle with. There are things, you know, like I said, I've said before, there are people that have propensities to certain sins. There are some people that are more susceptible to becoming drunkards, habitual drunkards, because they get into bondage to that sin. There are some people that become habitual liars because they're in bondage. But it's not disease, it's the results of sin. There's some people who have difficulty moderating their tongue, what comes out of there. They lie, they gossip, they deceive, they backbite, they hurt. That those things happen, but they're sins. And you can talk about homosexuality or sodomy, you can talk about that and all the things that we see about that, and those are sins, and certain people have more perceptible to them. You can go to that lying, stealing, all these things, any type of sin you can think of. We have weaknesses in certain areas that make a particular sin harder for us to deal with. But I want you to notice something here. He says, and this is something that's common to all of us. He said, if any man's able to bridle his tongue, the same as a perfect man. Right? And that means complete, mature, not sinlessly perfect, obviously. Because if we could be sinlessly perfect, we wouldn't need a Savior, would we? Alright, so, but he said that and able also to bridle the whole body. That verse tells me right there that if you and I would learn to manage this tongue, and we got the victory over the tongue, all these other problems that we have to deal with the flesh would be a lot easier in comparison. If you can manage that tongue by the grace of God, you can apply that same grace of God and manage everything else. And most of the wars and most of the problems are started not by what people do so much as what people say. Somebody does something wrong and they swell up like a poison pup in pride, and they don't want to admit they're wrong, right? They can't say, please forgive me. Can't humble themselves because their tongue is dominated by pride. The Bible says the wicked, because of the pride of his countenance, doth not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And that's the way people are. They don't care about what they say. They don't care about one day there's going to be a judgment. They don't pay attention to that. Amen. And then we go to Proverbs 13, verse 22, and it's a very interesting thing. It says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, a lot of your prosperity preachers today, they have this idea that that's talking about here and now, that we're going to get everything that the wicked people have. If we just do have enough faith, we can get all that for ourselves. And that preaches real good in America. Doesn't preach very good in Africa and other places like that. Although some, there are people that as the world has become more affluent, that type of preaching has become more popular. But what he's talking about here, and what he's written here, is not talking about necessarily this idea of name it and claim it all. It's not talking about that at all. What it's talking about is talking about people that are diligent, and people that are thrifty, and people that are honorable and decent and work hard and labor for what they have. And the Bible says a lot about that. They are the ones, the ones that think about their children and their children's children, and they lay up. And I'm speaking simply from a financial and a wealth aspect right now. They are the people that are the ones that gather up through labor and honest labor and decency. They gather up and God blesses their efforts, and they are actually able to leave such an inheritance in that regard. But there's also a spiritual application here too, is there not? We ought to be the ones gathering up the riches and the wealth of understanding of God's Word and a relationship with God so that we can pass that on. I cannot, the only thing that I can pass on to my children is my example. How I lived. Did they see me live a godly life? Did they see me? That's the only thing I can pass on to you as a church. I can preach to you, and I can preach the Word, and I can be faithful, and I can do my best to feed the flock of God, and I can do everything, but ultimately, my words are going to be impacted by the example of my life, what I live for you, what I live before you as a pastor. And so this is the wealth that of that. And by the way, that is my job. You know, Paul told Timothy, Paul the apostle, talking to a young pastor, a young preacher by the name of Timothy. He told him many things, but one of the things he said was, "Be thou an example of the believers." So he's saying you need to lay up, and Paul talked about how he had laid up and tried to live a life that was that would make an impact on these young preacher boys and these people that were there that followed him, the Timothys, Barnabas, Saul, Silas, and others that were there. The book of Philemon, he's talking about Onesimus. Who he's trying to get Onesimus to go back to Philemon and do the right thing and make things right. And so that example all the way through there, we have that wealth to pass on to the generation past us, but only if we make it if we are diligent, just like we would be diligent in our business affairs, our work habits, all those things. We have that diligence, or that we need to be diligent in godliness and righteousness so that we pass that on. And ultimately, the Bible tells us that one day, what? The meek will inherit the earth, right? Meek, not weak, is a big difference. The Bible says Moses was more meek than any man upon the face of the earth. But everybody was scared to death of him. And they weren't scared of him because of who he was. They were scared of him because they knew that God was behind him. They knew that he was walking with God. Yet he himself was meek, especially before God. And the Lord Jesus was meek, but never weak. He was meek and lowly in heart. Right? That's what he tells us to depend upon him. So if we look at other verses, there are several others. I can talk about that. But this is something that we need to understand. It says Psalm 25 verses 12 and 13 says, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? He shall teach him... teach in the way that he shall choose, his soul will dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth." Proverbs 28:8, "He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor." All right, there's principles there of the way we live our lives and the diligence that we have. Job 27, verses 16 and 17, "Though he heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver." Ecclesiastes 2:26, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit." So we see those principles there And here's something that you and I need to understand. And this is something that I have talked to so many people about. And you know, especially young people, they come up and we live in this time of instant gratification. And everybody wants everything done. You want everything on credit, everything done this way. And I've had people sit there and they say, you know, preacher, I wish that we could have what you have. I wish we could have a family like you have. I wish we could have some property like you have. I wish you... That didn't come in a day.
That's right.
That took years of trying to do the right thing and being blessed of God. And that is the thing that you can't make people understand. But our job as Christians, we need to realize if we live wickedly, all those things that ultimately are going to go to God's people one way or another at some point in time. In this life, it's going to go to the person that's diligent, because the wicked are wasteful. They waste everything. They do. Look at this world. Look at what is wasted in this world. Look at the United States of America. Look how much we just waste. We throw away clothes that other people would be happy to have. We throw away food that other people would be happy to have. We're wicked people because we're wasteful. And that's the evidence of it. Our waste. But godly people, they care about the poor. They care about those that are less fortunate. They care about the souls of men. They're not just happy that they're going to heaven. They want other people to go to heaven. There's all kinds of scriptures about us taking care of the poor and trying to be a help to people. And there's scriptures about us trying to win souls and share what great things God has given to us. So we look at these passages of scriptures, and these are the ones that you as a church said God was speaking to us about. And like I said, this is just a starting place, these verses I've given you. In both these areas, if you do an exhaustive study, we'd be here for 6 hours. I don't know, maybe it might be 7 hours. I don't know. I might could do it in 5. I don't know. But the bottom line is we'd be here for a good while just studying these things. But you know, I will say this in closing. So often things like this are not the field of study that we do. We want to know about the return of Christ, and we should. And we want to know about different doctrines and what people call cardinal or major doctrines and everything. We want to get, and don't get me wrong, you should, but this is the Word of God too. And this is where we meet the road of where we live, where we are looking at the Scriptures and saying, hey, this is how I should speak or not speak. And this is how I should take care of my family and my church and my neighbor and on and on. This is how I do it. I'm supposed to be diligent. You know, let him that stole steal no more, but let him rather what? Labor with his hands, working the thing that is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. I mean, I, how many scriptures can I quote? Hundreds. And this type of thing where God speaks to our heart, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention to what's coming out of our mouth. Is your tongue bridled by righteousness, by the Holy Ghost, or is it just eat up with the flesh? Are you diligent with your substance? Do you take care and do what you're supposed to do? we got to get out of this idea of waiting on figuring out what the government's supposed to do, because they don't have your best interest at heart. God does. So we just need to learn to do things God. Whether you have a little or whether you have a lot, you ought to handle it and use it, and you ought to mind your business and be diligent about doing things and saying things in a godly way. Because that's what God's people are supposed to be. This is the work of God. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll close out the Sunday school lesson. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for all that you've given us. And Lord, you've just been so good to us, and we just thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to be good in return. Help us, give us the grace we need to shut our mouths when we ought to shut our mouths, and or to say things in the right way, to speak the truth in love, and Lord, do the right thing as we should, and let the things that come out of our mouth be good. And Lord, we just pray also that you'd help us to be diligent, to mind our own business and do and live our lives and do our business and manage our affairs and our money and everything else in a godly way, so that we might be able to be a blessing. And Lord, we look forward to the one day that we're going to inherit all things, and we thank you for that. But while we're here, help us to realize that speaking and doing right is part of our testimony before a lost and dying world. Help us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.